Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're tuned in to Columbo Chronicles at Blog Talk Radio. Follow the mover and shaker, award-winning author and host, seen on TV and radio, Rose Columbo. Every Wednesday, Rose interviews prominent experts and authors on politics and social justice. Call in and listen or ask the guests a question at 646-564-9742. Now, here's Rose.
Hi, everyone. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo, right here for you at Blog Talk Radio, worldwide online radio, just for you. So wherever you are in the world, I hope you're having either a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening, or if I woke you up, good for you. You're just in time to listen to Columbo Chronicles every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. here on the West Coast in the good old USA. And for all those who listen from around the world in various countries, thank you so much. I get so excited to see which countries are listening each week. And you are more than welcome. And I don't even have to travel to your country to talk to you, but I would like to someday. I'm sure you each have beautiful countries and cultures and foods and clothing, and it would be very, very exciting, of course. And, of course, coming to America is exciting as well. If you've never been here, it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Wonderful, wonderful country. We love it, and you would love it, too. And tonight, as you know, every Wednesday evening, we have a very special guest coming up soon. And tonight is a very special guest, and she is an award-winning writer, and she's written many books, and she was born in Chicago, the Windy City in Chicago, where my daughters and I visited, I guess it's been a couple of months now, time flies, and we had a marvelous time. We really did enjoy Chicago and would like to go back again to see more sites. And it was just friendly. The food was fantastic. And it was just fun. We had a good time. So thank you, Chicago. Well, our very special guest tonight has a beautiful name. It's Sarita. Sarita Stevens. And like I said, she's published many books, from mystery novels to a description of poisonous plants. She also has been a nurse, and in that profession, she learned a lot, and that sent her to learn more about what a nurse could do when one of the cases seems to have a criminal or illegal side. Sleuth RN. On the web, a letter to the International Association of Forensic Nurses, IAFN. Now, I've never heard of a forensic nurse, and I bet you haven't either, because if I haven't, I'll bet you haven't. And as a longtime advocate for justice, so who has monitored the courts and led grassroots movement against injustices. So this is going to be very intriguing to me and to you. And that started her off on her specialty as a forensic nurse. So I just can't wait to speak to Sarita Stevens, the award-winning writer of many, many books, and find out a little bit more about her and about her books. So on that note, let's take a look, before we talk to our guest, about an article that just came out on Conservative Flag. It says the United States Court announces ruling that should scare the heck, that isn't quite the word they used, scare the heck out of every American. So we just have to find out, what does this mean? It says, this looks like the end of religious freedom in the United States. Federal court refused the Catholic Archdiocese appeal to force the D.C. Metro to take its Christmas advertisement. BizPac Review reported that last week, the United States Court of Appeal refused to grant the request of the Catholic Church on the grounds that it was too religious and would offend many citizens. Well, I think we all know which citizens they do not want to offend since the age of Obama in the United States of America. Now I want to interject here that these judges, justices and judges, federal activist liberal judges, were appointed mostly by Obama, and that their sworn oath is to America, but their sworn oath and duty, their only duty, is to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. And when we have so many liberal activist judges failing the American people and the United States of America and refusing to protect the American citizens, the rights, liberties, freedoms, and sovereignty of the American citizens, America has a huge problem and should start a grassroots movement like I did back around 1989. Against injustices in our county, and then it spread across the country. That opened a can of worms that now all the snakes are crawling out of. Good grief. Who would have known? Anyway, we have to start a grassroots movement to start recalling these judges, because their only duty is not to foreigners or new foreign immigrants or foreign naturalized Americans who are fake Christian refugees or fake Americans coming into our country by the millions. We must stand up as Americans and fight back for justice. We must stand up and demand that they uphold the United States Constitution, for which we the people, the American people, the forgotten people by these judges, pay them to do. We pay them with our hard-earned tax dollars for one thing, and that is to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. That is their only duty. Not to reinterpret the law, not to rewrite the law, not to rewrite the law on the bench, or to make up the law as they go along in the middle of a case, because it's their personal political opinion. No, we only pay them to uphold the Constitution and protect the welfare and safety, freedom, rights, liberties, and sovereignty, individual rights of every natural-born American. The natural-born Americans should come first in this country, and they're coming last. So, on that note, it also says the advertisement was supposed to promote the Find the Perfect Gift holiday campaign of the Catholic Church, which suggested to the people that they should go to church service during the Christmas holiday. Wow, what a concept. These ads were refused on the grounds of a 2015 decision which prevented all issue-oriented advertising from being exposed anywhere on D.C.'s transport system. The ban was originally put to prevent the anti-Islam ads, but has now been used on the Catholic Church, too. The rule was made to block advertisements intended to influence members of the public regarding an issue on which there are varying opinions, and advertisements that promote or oppose any religion, religious practice, or belief. So they are not only trampling on the freedom of religion for Catholics and Christians again, they are also trampling on the freedom of press, the freedom of media, the freedom of opinion, the freedom to speak out, the freedom to express your thoughts. This is serious, and Americans better wake up, and wake up very fast, at what these liberal activist judges and justices have done to our nation. In addition to this, the Metro banned the ads of the animal rights activist and the advertising of abortion rights activist Milo Yiannopoulos said, the ACLU also filed a lawsuit to annul the ban of the Metro. Oh, good old ACLU. Now the D.C. Catholic Archdiocese is taking the Metro to court, but it appears that they, too, don't have much success. Well, when you've got the judges and justices opposing freedom of religion, freedom of press, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom to march, freedom to protest, what can you expect? Well, what I should expect of the American people, especially the natural-born Americans, is to stand up, fight back peacefully, constitutionally, legally, band together, unite, and hire constitutional lawyers. Get yourself a legal fund going to hire constitutional lawyers, in my opinion, is my suggestion, and fight back. Fight back for your United States constitutional rights, liberties, freedoms, and sovereignty, and not just for yourselves, but your children and the future generations of the American natural-born citizens who are being wiped out by those doctors who kill babies because they have an MD by their name with abortion scissors by the millions. And they're killing off the natural-born American population instead of saving lives and saving natural-born citizens, because the only way to preserve a nation is to have natural-born babies in that nation who will grow up and uphold the Constitution of the United States, love their country, love their flag, love their national anthem, and respect it, and be the only person eligible to be a legal, constitutional U.S. president. And that is the privilege and the honor and the right of a natural-born American, and that sets you apart, sets us apart, the natural-born Americans, from the naturalized Americans and the foreign immigrants. That the framers provided you the right, the honor, and the privilege as the only persons eligible to be a United States president. And you should honor that birthright. And you should cherish it and preserve it, just like you should cherish and preserve the United States Constitution. And these judges and justices should be recalled, in my opinion. So that's up to you, America. That's up to you to stand up for the United States Constitution and for justice. And on that note, we're going to take a break, and we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts. And boy, do we have an expert tonight. Award-winning writer, born in Chicago. I love Chicago. And her name is Sarita Stevens. She's published many books, and just in a moment, I'll tell you a little bit more about her before we bring her on the air. But first, let's take a little break before we welcome our very special guest on Columbo Chronicles right here at Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Columbo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Columbo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to columbochronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Columbo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, columbochronicles.com.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Yes, listen up. You're listening to Columbo Chronicles Live with the Rose, Rose Columbo, right here for you every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. with very prominent guests from around the world, authors and experts in their own right and in their own fields, and topics that affect our very lives. So, tonight we do have a really special guest. Her name is Sarita Stevens, and she's an award-winning writer. She was born in Chicago. She's written many books, from mystery novels to a description of poisonous plants. She also has long been a nurse, and it is that profession that sent her to learn more about what a nurse could do when one of her cases seems to have a criminal or an illegal side. SleuthRN on the web, letter to the International Association of Forensic Nurses, and that started her off on her specialty as a forensic nurse. She took the course that gave her training in law and medicine, learning that the number of cases that came under the umbrella of forensic is a great deal larger than she had imagined. If there is any legal aspect at all, forensics play a part. Insurance, possible liability, workman's compensation, all of these and more join the more obvious criminal suspected criminal cases in having forensic connotations. Forensic Nurse is a book that will leave every reader hoping to have this fast-growing medical specialty represented in his or her medical world, always on call if and when needed. And so let's find out more about Forensic Nurse, the new role of the nurse in law enforcement. And let's welcome Sarita Stevens to Columbo Chronicles Live. Hi, Sarita. How are you this evening?
Hi, Rose. I'm so glad to be on tonight.
Well, I'm so happy to have you because this is a really exciting topic, as I'm an advocate for justice for many years, and I've never heard of a forensic nurse, so I'm so excited to find out about this topic, as many of the listeners are as well. And, Sarita, I gave a little bit of background about you being born in Chicago and being an award-winning writer, which is fantastic, with a myriad of books that you've written. Why don't you give us a little more background about yourself so we can understand a little more about your writing?
Okay, well, actually, I was always a reader, and I was always buying books when I was a kid and stuff like that. And one of the series that I loved was Cherry Ames, which you may not remember, but she was like a Nancy Drew, only she was a nurse. And she would solve crimes while she was taking care of her patients. It would be Cherry Ames student nurse and Cherry Ames clinic nurse and stuff like that. And that's what I wanted to be when I became a nurse, of course. It wasn't like that. And then in 1990, I stumbled on somebody who had a handle, SleuthRN. And as you said, I discovered the International Association of Forensic Nurses, and I took several courses. And as forensic nurses, we do not only sexual assault exams, which the majority of us do, but we also do motor vehicle accidents, reconstruction, arson investigation, domestic violence work, elder and child abuse, I do a lot of legal nurse consulting. I help attorneys with their medical malpractice cases. We also do death investigation and psychiatric investigations as well, prison work. So we are in quite a bit different areas, and most people don't even realize, very few doctors actually know how to collect evidence properly, and most nurses don't. And it's a matter of looking and seeing what is there, what the evidence is really telling you, and learning how to keep things from being contaminated and to preparing things properly for the court, and as well as taking care of your patients too. So it's really a fascinating field. And that's why I wrote the book, The Forensic Nurse, so that people would understand what we do on in a plain language, because we as nurses educate the public and help them to understand things, whereas doctor talk medicalese. In fact, that's why I wrote the book of poisons, too, so people would understand what things were for writers to get things correct.
So are you are forensic nurses actually employed by the hospital or by the lawyers or both?
Both. We're in a lot of different areas. I do independent work with various lawyers, but I also I myself don't work that much in the hospital, but I was trained to do sexual assault. And I was also trained like blood spatter analysis and wound identification and all these different areas, victimology, all these different things that most people don't think about. Actually, when I was in a recent jury case, what I told the jury when I was proving that somebody had been actually injured, they said that she had had a black eye because she'd hit her left side of her head against the wall, when in fact the black eye was on her right side. So there's no way she'd have done that. But you get a black eye from blunt force trauma. So I had to I told the jury, it told me what the look at what the evidence is telling you, not what you're being told. And we won the case. So it's a matter of looking and seeing what evidence tells you.
That's really, really exciting work, I would think, and intriguing as well. And you're also helping people who are victims of crimes, probably,
all
in many cases.
Yes.
And so do you work with the police as well?
Many of us do. Many of us work with the police. We work with attorneys. We work with district attorneys. We work with coroners. In fact, many of us are actually coroners. Most coroners are elected. In fact, only in the major cities are the coroners medical examiners. If you go to a small town, a small area, a coroner can be a handyman. It can be a funeral director without any real medical training, which is amazing.
Oh, wow. Yes, that is. And so, do you work with insurance companies?
We can.
You can?
Yes, absolutely.
So, is this like a class that someone can take in college, or how do you get to be a forensic nurse?
Well, it's a series of classes. First of all, you decide what area you want to specialize in. Very few people can specialize in all the different areas. I've taken a number of classes. Miami-Dade Medical Examiner's Office had a class. I've taken classes from St. Louis University School of Medicine. I take a variety of different classes all the time, classes in victimology, classes in how evidence is collected, and new technologies that are constantly coming up. But you have to decide what area you want to specialize in and how you want to help people.
So when you get hired for a specific case, does the lawyer pay you, or do the victims, the litigants, pay you? How do the forensic nurses get paid?
Well, the lawyer pays you out of the settlement. That's how it usually goes. Yeah. You get hired by various lawyers. I work as an expert witness. My specialty is psychiatry as far as my nursing background goes. And so where there's cases involving psychiatric hospitals or psychiatric patients that have been mistreated and stuff like that, that's where I usually help a majority of attorneys.
So when you're called, are you like the very first person they call to come in and collect the evidence and speak
well,
to the
it
person?
Depends on what your role is. If you're working with a hospital, actually JCO, which is the Joint Hospital Association, now requires hospitals to have a forensic nurse on staff, but most of us still have to fight against hospital administration to be paid properly for overtime and stuff like that and to be recognized. A lot of doctors still resent us taking their patients, and a lot of police still don't understand. They think that we still are just passing bedpans. So we're still fighting an uphill battle. But again, it depends on where you work as to when you're called in and stuff like that. When I work with an attorney, I'm usually called in and I read over all the medical transcripts and the files and the charts and stuff like that, and I determine if there has been changes to the charting, which, you know, there are certain rules of how you're supposed to do charting, whether or not medications were given properly or on time, you know, what the policies and procedures were, these type of things you look at. I also help many people with domestic violence cases and on how to escape domestic abuse situations.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, that's a huge problem, domestic violence. A lot of women are fearful of leaving the home.
They are.
They feel like they have nowhere to go or they might be tracked by the abuser.
And it's very easy for many of them.
I bet you run into those cases, right?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
What are some of the things you tell them,
well,
you know, if they're in that situation?
You have to be there for them all the time and say, look, I'm here. Nobody has a right to hurt you. And I'm here whenever you're ready to do something. Many times people get upset and turned away because, oh, you should leave him, you should leave him. And you don't leave him, or you leave him and you go back to him because it's a Jekyll Hyde situation. These abusers have a dual personality, and on the outskirts, they look like they're wonderful husbands and wonderful fathers. And, you know, you look like you're an ideal couple. But inside, he's very jealous. He's very domineering. He's watching everything you do. He's trying to isolate you from your friends, from your family, from money, trying to keep you from talking to anybody, watching, you know, who you're with, who you're talking to. Many of them accuse their wives of having affairs. And it just, you know, you have to understand that these women are going to go back and forth because you don't want to believe the man that you fell in love with, this person that you thought was going to be wonderful for you, is really out to hurt you. You know, or
exactly.
Maybe hurt your children.
You just described one of my best friends,
mm-hmm.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, but you have to say, look, I'm here for you whenever you need to talk. And this is what you need to prepare a bag. You need to have an escape plan. You need to get your important papers together, your bank accounts. You need to get together your, your passports, and, you know, birth certificates, these sort of things, you know. And, you know, you're not going to be able to take everything. You know, you're going to be just. You just have to have an emergency plan. Sometimes I tell people to pack a bag and leave at a friend's house. You know, because they might just have to run out of the house with their car keys at the last moment as the guy is coming, attacking them.
Yes, as a longtime advocate for justice, I've told women the same thing. I go, you just never know when you're going to have to escape, and
mm-hmm.
If you just leave with nothing, then you have nothing to show the police and
you
the lawyers.
You also have to have a paper trail, too.
Yes,
you know,
good idea.
Even though restraining orders don't do a lot most of the time, because by the time the police get there, he's either gone or he's already killed you. but you have to have a paper trail to prove to the courts that you tried to do something. And you have to keep a log of every time he calls you, every time he approaches you, that sort of thing, and things that he said, and you know, keep a journal, and most people don't want to do that. They're afraid of having the police involved, or they're saying, you know, I don't want people to know what's happening about me. Especially, you know, it happens not just poor people. It happens, you know, with judges, or lawyers, doctors, police, football players. Anybody can be, and women can be abusers as well too. Not as many, but there are female abusers as well.
That's true, and that's very true. And so I know that you had to have written a few stories inside of your book. Can you tell us one story? Can you think of one story that you might want to share with us from forensic
nurse? There is one story that I've been helping with, where a woman, she came across her husband doing a drug deal. She hadn't known when she was marrying him that he was actually a mobster related to a big mob family. And he threatened he was going to make her life miserable. And he kept on haunting her and stalking her even after she was divorced, and said that he didn't believe the youngest child was his. And she woke up one morning and she had been beaten and didn't remember anything, and her youngest son was dead. And she was accused of a murder-suicide, and she spent time in prison because they couldn't prove anything. And the mob husband was apparently paid off the lawyers. It was a small town. And, you know, we have lots of suspicions that the police there in the small town had what's called tunnel vision, where they decided this was the killer, this is what we want, we want to prove this case, and they wouldn't listen to any other evidence.
And we're still trying to prove the case, actually. Well, you touched on a really important point, because not all police officers, not all lawyers, not all judges are objective, and some are biased, or some take bribes, and
absolutely,
some do get paid off. And so people don't want to believe that, because we all want to trust these people in trustworthy positions. But reality tells us we're all human beings, and the victims know the truth, but the people who have not been victims of legal abuse or injustices don't want to believe it. And that's why this topic is very difficult to get action on. They either go to one extreme or the other, where, you know, the laws are so overwhelming and so restrictive that it hurts everybody.
And if the guy has money, I have a friend whose husband is a top-notch lawyer who is abusing, and he's telling people she's crazy. He's trying to prove everybody that she's an unfit mother, when I know that's not the case. But, you know, she's having a hard time proving it, you know, because he's alienated
from the family.
Well, the
problem is that women are emotional. Men know that. And so they just say she's crazy, and they get them all stirred up. Then the woman gets emotional in front of the police, and then the police go, yeah, she was out of control. And then the judge says he's emotionally disturbed, mentally disturbed.
Absolutely.
And, so this is the way it goes. And so what you're doing is very important work, because women don't understand that emotions and tears in courtrooms are looked upon by many judges and lawyers as being a weak person, and therefore you're incapable of taking care of your children. And
well, as I tell people, it's too good to be true. It's too good to be true. If the guy comes on and in 2 days tells you he loves you and he wants to marry you, or 2 weeks or 2 months, whatever, you know, I mean, you got to look carefully of what's really going on here.
Yeah, too bad we don't have crystal balls, you know.
Too bad. Yeah.
But we don't, you know. And so, you know, when you're young, you're mostly attracted physically. And,
exactly.
My God, you know, he's a football player. He's look at his abs, you know. You hear these young girls all
gorgeous
the time. And we were all the same when we're young, but we don't know that you really need to look at who is this person, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I actually myself was involved with an abuser, and I really wanted to have a child, so I overlooked what now were obvious signs. But I just felt like, I the Lord wants me to have a child the normal way, and so I married him, even though something didn't feel right. And within 4 months, he pulled a gun on me, and we both spent a weekend in jail. You know, before I finally got my divorce.
Yes, and I had some of those experiences myself, so I totally understand. And that's how I became an advocate for justice, and probably why you're passionate about this topic as well.
Absolutely.
And it is life-changing. There's no doubt about that. And then you get into the system and you are in shock because the system is not what we're taught it is.
I call it
an illusion, and we're set up for the disillusionment. And, you know, justice is no more than an illusion in our mind.
It is an illusion. And, you know, that's one reason why I write mystery novels, because you get justice in the end usually.
And so I'm going to take a little break and give you a little break, and then I want to talk to you about some of the other books that you've written. You can give us some of the names, and then also what is different about, because I know you write scripts too, so what's the difference between writing scripts and books? So think about that for a moment, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Hi, we're back on Columbo Chronicles Live, and we're speaking to an award-winning author of several books who was born in Chicago, and she is a nurse, and she is a forensic nurse. On top of that, and she's explaining to us what is a forensic nurse, and the name of her book is Forensic Nurse, The New Role of the Nurse in Law Enforcement. So let's talk again to our very special guest about what is the difference between writing scripts versus books. So what is that difference, Sarita?
Well, as I explain in my book, The Ultimate Writer's Workbook, is that you need a good story with compelling characters that are emotionally engaging to the reader, or the viewer. Obviously, there is a page difference. Scripts are usually between 90 and 110, maybe 120 for the extra long ones. And books can be much longer, 200 to 500 pages, depending on what your publisher is willing to put up. But with books, you are describing everything, all of the senses. You talk about the feelings. You talk about the emotions. You talk about the weather. You can talk about, you would say the room was a mahogany desk with floral drapes and brocade shades and stuff like that, and a Renoir painting. Whereas in a script, you might say it was an ornate room, or Jacobean furniture, something like that, and you leave it to the set designer. a script is a team effort. Making a film is a team effort. You're writing the script, and the script has to be visual. You can't say she was angry. You have to say she punched the wall. Well, you should do that anyway with writing the book, too, because you need to show, not tell. But even so, you have to be much more visual. You can't talk about the feelings. You have to show the feelings. Scripts are usually done in present tense, whereas books are usually done in past tense. But you also have to be in both. You have to write actively, not passively. You don't talk about she was running, she ran. I know she was breathless. She couldn't catch her breath. You have to talk about the present, the emotion, the feelings, and get the emotion across. So besides little things like that, those are the basic things, difference between scripts and books. But in both, you have to have characters that people want to follow. You're not going to describe she had a blonde ponytail and blue eyes unless it's really put into the story. I mean, why is that important to the story that she was blonde? Unless the dead woman was blonde and you were trying to, you know, trace that back or something like that. You know, why is it important that she wear tight jeans unless you're trying to show that she's a pimp or something, a prostitute or something like that, whatever. You know, you have to understand why are you describing this. It doesn't matter. It's the actions that matter. You know, she bent down and patted the dog, or she gave a dollar to the homeless woman on the street. That tells more about your character than the fact that she he was angry at injustice of humanity. You know, that doesn't mean anything
right.
to the reader.
Right. That's excellent, and that gives us a great, great difference between the script and the book for all of the audience out there who's trying to write a script or a book or learn more by an award-winning writer and an expert on plays and scripts and books. So what about your book? You wrote a book, The Book of Poisons, Deadly Doses.
Yes.
I found that
mm-hmm.
fascinating, just as I found Forensic Nurse fascinating. Can you discuss that one a little bit for us?
Well, excuse me. I'm an active member of Mystery Writers of America, and being I'm a nurse, people were always asking me medical questions, and you know, how does this work, and how is that, what's an aneurysm, what's this, what's that, and as a nurse, as I said, we explain to patients in plain English what is really happening, where the doctors use medicalese, and I realized there was nothing there for the writer to understand how poisons worked, so. And somebody suggested to me, why don't we write this book? And so I wrote a book on the Book of Poisons and how it works, the different side effects, where it's found. We didn't use specifics of how much is needed because actually poisons are very individualized depending on the body and what are the health problems the person has, et cetera. So we just gave a graduated scale, you know, 1 to 5 as fatality. But the fact is that it's really important to understand how things work and why you would find, arsenic, why somebody would be poisoned by arsenic. Actually, when I was actually in nursing school, I did have one of my patients was actually being poisoned by arsenic. He was having vomiting and diarrhea all the time and other gastric problems, and nobody was thinking of it. And of course, being that I'm a reader and writer, I thought, well, why don't we just try, you know, testing for arsenic? And the doctor thought I was crazy. The intern thought I was crazy. But we tested it and found out his wife was poisoning him. So, you know,
wow.
it happens all the time, you know. And people, if they think they can get away with it, they will. Of course, most poisons can be discovered if the detective knows what he's looking for. Most of the times, they just look for the ordinary things like street drugs, cocaine, stuff like that. They don't look for rat poison. They don't look for, thallium. I just helped Discovery Channel with a show about a serial poisoner, Graham Young, who was poisoning people in 1940s England with thallium because he wanted to see how it worked. You know, he didn't like people.
Wow.
And he was testing it.
So,
and he was keeping journals.
So a lot of people probably die and the poison doesn't show up. So they just write it off as natural causes or whatever?
Yes, very often it happens, yes. You know, unless the detective is astute. Usually you have to do what's called a 48-hour victimology and look and see where they were the past 48 hours. Of course, they could be being poisoned slowly, too, which is another matter as well. You have to look and see what's going on and who benefits by the death of the person.
Yes. I knew of a case where I thought they were overdosing the person, the caregiver, and because the two people were so lethargic that I took them to the hospital, and one ended up in the hospital, and the other one ended up, they both ended up in the hospital, what am I talking about, and basically saved their lives. Of course,
good.
I couldn't prove that, but, you know, that was my instinct, thank God, and saved their lives. And
Well, some poisons stay in the body longer than others, but again, it's a matter of when it's tested. You know, what's being tested? How, you know, is the urine tested on time? Is the hair tested? Is the blood tested? You know, and there are some poisons disappear very quickly too.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look what symptoms they're having and where they've been. You know, again.
So it seems to me that you have messages in your stories and your books.
Well,
do you?
I try to. Yeah, I mean. Like one of the short stories that I wrote recently about domestic violence. And I usually use what's called the what-if method. We were talking about domestic violence earlier, and actually my father had been an abuser. And I would think, well, what would happen if I actually had heard what had happened during my mother's pregnancy with me? And what would happen if I remembered the voices, because children do remember things, you know, from when late fetus times. It said that kids can recite things that they've heard in the doctors have said in the delivery room, or jokes or music, favorite mom's favorite music, or emotions. You know, so one of my award winning short stories, The Unborn, is about a child coming back. Remembering the visions of the mothers, of the voice of the killer, and coming back and getting justice for her mother.
Ooh, that's exciting.
And I'm actually
book.
My agent is actually having me finish that as a new feature and a book as well.
Well, do you think it's important for the audience out there who are seeking to write a book, maybe for themselves, you know, but then there's others who would love to share their work with the public like you. Do you think it's important for them to have an agent or not?
Oh, well, yes and no. I mean, it used to be that you couldn't get published without an agent. These days, a lot of people are doing self-publishing, which is still not looked upon as kosher as you would like. And most people don't do the proper editing, and they don't know that self-publishing takes so much more effort, because we have to do not only the writing and the editing and the cover and distribution and the promotion, but it takes a lot of effort. Actually, I just one of the things I do is I write for LA Splash magazine. It's an international magazine, and I just did a review of my friend's book, Arby Bato's book, about crowdsourcing, about how you have to get the audience involved and have to understand what the audience needs. And the fact is that we have to look and see what we are giving to our readers as well, and to involve them in the story as we're doing it. But most people don't understand that. And they don't understand that. They think, oh, you're a writer, you must be making lots of money. I wish that was so. It really isn't. You have to write because you love writing. You don't make the money at writing unless, you know, like Mary Higgins Clark got $1 million at her last contract, whatever. But it's people hear about it because it's unusual. You know, most of the time these days,
true.
You really don't make that money writing. You write because you love it too, because you want to tell a story.
Exactly, and so many people do think that because you're writing books that you do become rich and famous and all this, but in the end, like you said, Wouldn't that be nice? In the end, like you said, though, it's an accomplishment and an achievement and something that you need to have passion for and love. And then, you know, good things come from that. And you've shared good information with the world, and it's there in print, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No one can take that away from you. And
absolutely.
So that makes you rich, right? In spirit,
absolutely.
And mind.
You have to understand also what you are giving to people as well and what message you're putting across.
Right. And, I mean, money comes and goes, you know. But
mm-hmm.
your information could be very valuable to somebody, even if it's one person, 100 people, millions of people out there who make them feel better or motivate them to do something or be aware of something they didn't know about or just enjoy your book, you know, and share
absolutely.
It with others.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so there's a lot of reasons to write other than money. And so, Sarita, what are you working on right now that's the most important?
Well, I work on several things at once in different phases. As I said, I'm working on the novel and script of The Unborn Witness, and I've been through so many. You'd be surprised at how many drafts you have to do in something like this. I've rewritten it so many different times in so many different ways because you're trying to make it so that it really flows and really impacts people. I have a book called The Master's Will. I was hired by this gentleman to write the story of his ancestors who had been slaves and bought by a lonely South Carolina plantation owner. And when he was killed by the Klan for being too northern in his sympathies, and because he left everything to his black wives, which of course at the time after the Civil War was not very popular, and the women had to fight the Southern tradition and the family who thought that they had been stolen from, and it took almost 12 years for them to actually win their court case. And this is a true story, and I wrote it as a script. The script was a Page Awards. We're still looking for a producer for it, but I wrote it as a book as well, and that's one book. And another book I'm working on, I adopted my daughter from Romania when she was 9 months old, and I always tell my friend Sean McNamara, who's a well-known director, that he's a director son of Vlad, because that was the original Dracula, because she had like garlic on a pizza. And so we came up with a story called Mark of the Dragon, where Dracula comes back and she realizes she's really a descendant of Dracula, and she has to decide which side she's going to be on. That's another story I'm working on. And I help other people with their writing. I'm helping another friend who is dealing with a schizophrenic, a dual personality, and the story of how she helped this person, and that's going to be a true story. And I'm also writing up the story of my friend Chris, whose case I told you about earlier in the small town. So I do
wow,
a lot of different things.
That's a lot of work. Yeah, you have a lot on your plate right now. That all sounds very exciting as well. But your book, Forensic Nurse, The New Role of the Nurse in Law Enforcement, and all of your wonderful books, they all sound fantastic and intriguing. And some are based on true stories, which is even more intriguing for
absolutely.
Most of us. So, Sarita Stevens, unfortunately, we've run out of time, but I want you now to take your time to shine and give us any message you like, and also any information about your books and where they can contact you on the web if you have a website.
Yeah, my website is saritastevens.com. Those who are in the industry, IMBD Pro, IMBD, Sarita D. Stevens. And I'm always willing, I'm always helping other writers with their work and stuff like that. And if this is something that you want to do, don't give up. I actually was involved when I lived in Chicago, I took a class with Harry Mack Patricus, who was the Chicago Writers in Residence. And he said, somebody asked him, well, when do you give up? And he said to her, honey, if you can give up, do it. Because if it's in your blood, you can't. And actually, I lost two husbands because I'd be writing in the middle of the night notes and stuff like that. And no matter where I go, I'm always taking notes and writing them. My daughter says I'm at the computer 24/7, which I'm not really. But, you have to take every moment and make it count for you. And right, and not give up things and not, you know, you can't say, well, I've got to watch Game of Thrones. Yeah, I love Game of Thrones, but do you want to spend time watching Game of Thrones, or do you want to spend 20 minutes at your computer writing? You know,
exactly.
And that's why I outline everything, because so I can, you know, do little bits and pieces here. That's how I can do so many different projects at once.
Multitasking, exactly. And I just want to thank you so much for being on Colombo Chronicles tonight, and I hope you'll come back in the new year and visit with us again and tell us some more about some of your other wonderful books, because you've written quite a few that are very interesting, at least to most of us. And on my show, Colombo Chronicles, we love these topics. And I just want to wish you a very, very happy new year, prosperous, healthy, and joyous, and very successful for you. And keep up
the
good work, Sarita.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. And we'll talk to you in 2018.
Okay, great. Thanks, Rose.
Okay. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And Sarita Stevens has left the building. And don't forget, you can also go to Amazon.com. Just type in Amazon.com/books. There'll be a space to type in Sarita, S-E-R-I-T-A, Stevens, S-T-E-V-E-N-S, and all of her books will pop up, award-winning, best-selling books. And you can pick and choose, because there's a lot of award-winning books on that page. So check them out. And now we're going to take a break on Colombo Chronicles Live, so don't touch that dial, because I'm going to tell you another interesting little story about what's going on in our world.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Colombo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Colombo's home on the Colombo Chronicles Live to your home, Colombo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Hi, you're back on Colombo Chronicles. We just have a few minutes here. And there is some breaking news here. It's Native American news. And it's shocking. And I hope this isn't true, but apparently it is. California upholds right for pedophiles to marry 10-year-old kids. California is going down the tubes really, really fast. And people are moving out of California like crazy. Believe me, that's the truth. They are leaving California. Lawmakers in California have upheld the rights for pedophiles to legally marry children as young as 10 years old. This is sick, perverted. And anyway, in a sick and twisted ruling, girls as young as 10 are among over 200,000 children who are allowed to legally wed adults in the last 15 years, according to shocking new data uncovered by a Bay Area legislator. A Bay Area legislator was shocked when he learned from a young constituent that while Californians cannot legally consent to sex until they are 18, they can, with the permission of a parent and a judge's order, and recall those judges, get married at any age, even if their spouse is many years older. This is sick and perverted. Somebody has to stand up for these children. This is like selling them to into prostitution. This needs to change, and shame on those sick, perverted California legislators and any judge who allows such a thing to happen to these children. Shame, shame, shame on you. Well, sorry to leave that on that note, but I do want to wish everyone a very happy, prosperous, healthy, and joyous New Year, and a peaceful New Year around the world and in the United States of America. God bless you. God bless America. And God bless these children who are being used and abused by perverted pedophiles and sick people around the world, and now here in the good old USA, where we never thought that could happen in a civilized nation.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.